Looking on Daf Dalet Amud Beis, we got up to the two dots, and we're going to start the Sugya Tnan Hosam, which I guess if you count up from the bottom of the page would be probably about anywhere between 12 and 13 lines or something along that line, alright? So we have Tnan Hosam, and let's just give a little background to what the Gemara is often doing right now. We're going to be looking at a Mishnah which is being quoted here. The Mishnah is much later on. And the reason we're looking at this Mishnah is because we're gonna try to come to some conclusion about when the Torah prohibits chametz, at what point. So what we know is that according to the Torah law, we're not allowed to eat chametz on Erev Pesach, from midday and on. So we're on the 14th of Nisan, midday, we're not allowed to eat chametz. And from that moment in time that we can't eat chametz, we also have to destroy our chametz. That's the mitzvah of Tashbisu. The Chachamim, as we'll soon see, are going to add another hour or possibly even 2 hours to that Iser Torah and Midrabanan. They're going to make a gzeira, and they're going to say, we're not going to wait until the last moment. We're not going to wait until midday, which is called the beginning of the seventh hour on the 14th. We're going to tell you to get rid of your chametz at the beginning of the sixth hour, or maybe even at the beginning of the fifth hour, as we'll see different opinions about this issue. But from the fact that the Chachamim made this gzeira to be marchik us, and they forced us back an hour, from the 7th hour back to the 6th hour, possibly even 2 hours, we see that chametz min haTorah is already prohibited from the beginning of the 7th hour. And the Gemara wants to know, how do we know such a thing? So Tnan Hasam, what we see in the Mishnah is, Rabbi Meir says that we only have to push you back 1 hour, Ochlin kol chamesh, the 5th hour you're allowed to eat, and sarfin betchila sheish, we have to get rid of the chametz at the beginning of the 6th hour, 1 hour before chatzos hayom. And the assumption is that the Torah prohibits chametz at the beginning of the 7th hour. The Chachamim prohibited chametz 1 hour early at the beginning of the 6th hour. Rabbi Yehuda goes a little even further. He's going to extend it 1 hour earlier than Rabbi Meir, meaning 2 hours earlier than the Isur Torah. Ochlin kol arba, you're allowed to eat chametz only up to the end of the 4th hour. Let's say on a perfect day, an hour clock, that would be, let's say, up till 10 o'clock. But already at 10 o'clock, when we're entering into the 5th hour, that's 2 hours before chatzos, we're not allowed to eat chametz. However, interesting, he doesn't use the term asur kol chamesh, or sarfin chamesh, but rather he says tolin kol chamesh. And we'll get back to this in just a moment, but first I want to move on. V'sarfin b'tchila sheish. In other words, there's no debate between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda about when is the Shas Hasreifa. Everybody agrees that we got to destroy our chametz at the beginning of the 6th hour, 1 hour earlier. Rabbi Yehuda says even an hour before that, during the 5th hour, you're not allowed to eat the chametz. He's not going to go as far as to say that you have to destroy it during the 5th hour. He's going to say tolin. The word tolin means lo ochlin velo sarfin. It's sort of suspended in midair. We don't have to burn the chametz because we're allowed to feed the chametz to our animal. Meaning, the chametz is still mutar b'hanah. The Iser Hanah is only engendered after the beginning of the 6th hour. As long as we're in the 5th hour, the Iser is limited to achila, which itself is a fascinating question, how you could have chametz that on the one hand is chametz, at least midrabanan, as far as the Iser achila is concerned, but the rabbanan are not going to superimpose the full, as we'd say, at the full package deal, including the Isra HaNoah. In other words, basically the Torah doesn't recognize a case of chametz which you're not allowed to eat, but you're allowed to feed to your animal. The package deal of chametz is such that it's what we call Isuri HaNoah. We've discussed this in the past. Meaning, chametz belongs to a select membership, a group of not too many surim. You know, you can throw in Basa B'Cholov, you can throw in Klai HaKerem, you can throw in Arla, there aren't that many. But there are a few, select few Isurim that are Isuri HaNoah, which means I'm not allowed to eat it, but also I'm not allowed to give it away to someone, I can't sell it to someone, I can't feed it to my dog, and so forth and so on. Here in chametz, we have the identical situation. where the Torah prohibits you from having any benefit from the chametz. When the Rabbanan step in, for example, in the sixth hour, they apply all the dinim of chametz. Number one, you're not allowed to eat the chametz. Number two, you cannot have any benefit from the chametz. Number three, you have to destroy the chametz. So virtually all the dinim of chametz that apply in a doraisa level after the beginning of the seventh hour, extend earlier, if you will, to the beginning of the sixth hour. So the chametz derabbanan of the sixth hour, both according to Rav Meir and according to Rav Yehuda, nobody denies this, is full-fledged chametz, the entire package. The exception to the rule is chametz in the fifth hour according to Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda has a kind of anomaly of some sort, an oxymoron. It's a new bria, a new creation in the world of halacha, namely chametz that's asur b'achila but mutar b'hanah, and the word he uses for that is tolin, which means you don't have to burn it because you can still benefit from it. And on the other hand, you're not allowed to eat it.
When both of them use the phrase usurfim betchilat sheish, do they mean already burnt by the beginning of the sixth hour, or that's when you start burning?
Right, you start burning at the beginning of the sixth hour. The sixth hour, At the very outset of the sixth hour, that's called Shas Bir. That's when you're involved in Bir Chametz. And then you take your Chametz out and you destroy it. Our minig might be a little bit different. We already go out much earlier than that. But at the latest time for Bir is to get involved at the beginning of the sixth hour. But again, I wanted to call your attention because I find this fascinating. This is really deep Torah here. I've mentioned to you, I think, in the past more than once, that I come from a school of Talmudic study, which is called Brisk. And it started way back when, with the Brisker Rav. Reb Chaim especially was the revolutionary. And one of the famous areas of study in Brisk is the definition of prohibited foodstuff, which means macholos asuros, and defining the category of macholos asuros, meaning what is the definition in this case, what's the definition of chametz? And as we said before, the definition of the chametz includes many different elements. It includes the isur achila, the isur hanah, and the chiyuv tashbisu to destroy the chametz. And that's called the shame chametz in the brisket terminology. So you'd find it quite interesting to know that the Brisker Rav, and I'll tell you exactly who he was in just a minute, he was my Rebbe's uncle, but before we get back to that, the history of it, the Brisker Rav was absolutely baffled by the status of chametz in the fifth hour according to Rabbi Yehuda, because he asked the kind of imanavshach. It doesn't make sense. It's one or the other. Either it's chametz or it's not chametz. There's no half, you're either pregnant or you're not pregnant. You know, either you're chametz and therefore it should be asur b'hanah, and you'd be enjoined from feeding it to your animal, or it's not chametz, and therefore it's, what should I say, it's like bread the whole year round. Bread the whole year round is not called chametz, because there's no isur achila. The shame chametz emerges in this world as an entity with the isur achila. But on the other hand, once that shame chametz emerges, it's got to drag within it, along with it, I should say, an isur hanah. Here we have a split. We have something that on the one hand, the Rabbanan want to call chametz, but on the other hand, they don't want to go as far as prohibiting hanah. So let me just tell you who the Brisker Rav was. Keep in mind that Reb Chaim had two sons that both were stars. One of them, the older one, was Reb Moshe Soloveitchik. He was my Rebbe's father, and he was my father's Rebbe. He was Masader Kedushim for my parents. And what happened was that after Reb Chaim passed away, Reb Chaim was the Rav in Brisk, which was a tremendous stature. It was very significant Rabbanus. When Reb Chaim died, the assumption would have been that his oldest son, Reb Moshe Soloveitchik, would have become the Rav in Brisk. That didn't happen. Historians debate why that didn't happen. Possibly one of the most plausible answers is because Reb Moshe had already left Brisk for many, many years. He was on his own in different cities. He was in Chaslavich, he was in Rasayn. the people, the local people in Bris, they didn't really know Reb Moshe. They didn't have a chavivus, a certain love or closeness to him. So instead, they appointed Reb Moshe's youngest son, who was Reb Yitzchak Zev Soloveitchik. He became the Rav of Bris, the Brisker Rav. And that's how he's known to this day in the world of Halacha, in the world of Lamdas. He's called the Brisker Rav. Reb Yitzchak Zev Halevi Soloveitchik. He became the Rav in Brisk. And he writes an entire piece to try to define Chametz in the fifth hour according to Reb Yehuda. I'll just give you the short end of it. You know, the tip of the iceberg. He says that there are two definitions of macholas asuros, of forbidden foods. They're categorically fundamentally different one from the other. The first, which is classic, is called an iser cheftza. Cheftza means that the food itself inherently is asur. What shall I say? It's contaminated, if you pardon the word, right? There's something inherently bad about it. That's called an iser cheftza. But he says there's another category. It's a bit rare, but it does surface, and that's an iser gavra, where there's nothing inherently forbidden in the foodstuff, but the person himself has to remove himself from that food. For example, if I take a shvua, if I take an oath,
a nazir with grapes.
Okay, so a nazir, that's a fascinating discussion. The Rush in Masechta Nedarim, at the very beginning of Nedarim, that Beis Hamidei says that a nazir is an iser gavra. That there's nothing inherently despicable or repulsive about the wine, it's just that since he has accepted upon himself Nazirus, that means he's elevated himself to a certain level of Kedusha, the Torah defines that Kedusha in a way that expresses itself in his moving away from Yayin, but the Yayin itself inherently is not objectionable or abominable. Another example might be all foodstuffs on a Tainus, on a fast day, on Yom Kippur. I mean, there's nothing inherently prohibited about food on Yom Kippur. It's just the gavra has to be in a state of the inisem, of the inui. And he wanted to apply this principle of an iser gavra to the fifth hour of Rabbi Yehuda. It's a brand new category of chametz. It's not really chametz inherently. If it were, then it would have the same chametz that would drag with it, the iser hanoi. You would not be allowed to feed it to your dog. What Rabbi Yehuda created in the rabbinic Gzeira of the fifth hour is an Iser Gavra. The chametz itself is not chametz, but you yourself have to abstain from the chametz. And once it's an Iser Gavra, I'm almost finished, Lawrence. Once it's an Iser Gavra, then the Rabbanan are no longer bound by the characteristics of chametz. They can now, sort of in a very free, laissez-faire society, they can decide what are the rules and regulations that govern chametz as an iser gavra, what are the prohibitions that they want to impose, and therefore they will be free to make decisions that, okay, he may make a mistake, but it's a little bit far out, you know, to make a 2-hour mistake, you know, it's not only the 6th hour, the 7th hour, he's now back to the 5th hour. They decided that they would limit that isur, as we call it, an iser gavra, to the 5th hour. As I said before, we're only touching the tip of the iceberg, but I just wanted you to get a sense. I hope you'll be meichel me that I went that far. It's a little bit unusual for me to move out into the world of Brisk, you know, but it's a fascinating discussion.
But isn't it the case that in the 5th hour, according to that opinion, the chametz is chametz, but human beings, Jewish human beings, aren't allowed to eat it?
That's what the Brisker Rav called that an Issa Gavra.
Prohibiting the chametz. Right. You use the example of a Yom Tzah.
Right.
The food is food. The food is kosher. You're not allowed to have it.
Right. But you can feed it to your dog. So in that sense, it doesn't take on the whole package of what chametz is. When the chametz is chametz inherently, it's real bona fide chametz, then the Torah says, you know what? Stay away from it. Don't feed it to your dog, don't do anything. That's the nature of chametz. But when the Torah says, you know what? The Rabbanan are coming in, they're stepping in, they're making a gzeira, they're saying to the person, stay away from it, then they're not bound by the package and all the characteristics of chametz. Okay, that's just in passing.
You suggested that there is an anomaly in the concept of having an isur of achila earlier than the isur of hana'a, or the time of sreifa.
Let me put it to you a little bit differently, Lawrence. It's an anomaly to have chametz and call it chametz and be mutar b'ana. That doesn't really exist.
Well, but if it's before the zman, there's nothing wrong with being mutar b'ana.
Okay, but then don't call it chametz. That's what bothered the sensitivities.
There's nothing wrong with chametz.
All right, you know what, Lawrence? I want to go on because I spend too much time on this.
No, I was going to ask the following though.
Yeah.
If you wanted to make the Isur of Achila at the same time as the Isur of Hana and the time of Sreifa, then the argument would be, I think, that people would just have to, aside from what the rabbis may say, voluntarily stop even earlier in order to have time between finishing eating and getting rid of the chametz, or the way of getting rid of the chametz is to eat it.
Okay, but maybe you're right. But
if you do anything else, it wouldn't work.
You may be right. It's maybe recommended to start a little bit earlier.
And maybe that's what the rabbis did by having the achila an hour earlier.
Okay. So what do we have here? De kuli alma miha. Everybody agrees. Chametz mishei shos lemala asur. Everybody agrees that chametz became asur at the end of the sixth hour, the beginning of the seventh hour, and that's a Torah isur. The Rabbanan extended it back to the beginning of the sixth hour, possibly the beginning of the fifth hour. Minon. What's the source, and this is the subject of our discussion tonight, for the conclusion that chametz is asur by Torah law midday on the 14th? Namely, from chatzosan on, the beginning of the seventh hour. Rashi adds another piece over here, a very interesting piece in Rashi. Rashi says, Dibar maskel de kuli alma miha. It's about 10 lines up from the bottom of your page. He says, "The ilo mitzar ad urta." If you were to postulate that chametz only becomes awesome in a Torah at night, meaning entering into the 15th, lo avi gazru be, the Rabbanu would never even have made such a gzera. Why? De bein yamama lo leila lo to inchi. The whole problem of making mistakes is within hours of the day. They didn't have clocks like we do. You know, they had sundials. So it's very easy to make a mistake between one hour and the other. It's hard to be precise. But everybody understood the difference between day and night. That was clear to the visual, to the eye. So Rashi says it would make no sense that the Rabbanu would make Xeris and push us back if Chametz is only Osir at night, which is technically the new day as far as Halakha is concerned, the 15th, and say, well, let's go back into the day and prohibit chametz. The fact that there's a rabbinic gzera to push us away during the 14th of Nisan means that chametz itself is also in the 14th of Nisan. Meaning, the day of the 14th is broken up into its two parts. One part of which is asur min haTorah, and the other part is asur min Rabbanan, whether it's 1 hour or 2 hours, the machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, because how much of a mistake, how large and extensive is the margin of error. But Rashi points out that between day and night there would be no room for error at all. Okay, now we're going to start the sugya with Abaye. Abaye is the kickoff of the sugya, but I want to warn you that as we go into Daf Hey, we're going to have many, many opinions on this question. Where do we know, how do we derive the conclusion that chametz is asur min haTorah on the 14th? So Abaye says, Trei Kroi Ksivit. The Torah Shebaal Peh is going to work out of the Torah Shebichsav. We're going to analyze two psukim, and we're going to find them incongruous. On the one hand, Ksiv Shivas Yomim Si'or Lo Yimotzei Vivoteichem. For 7 days you should have no chametz in your possession. And Rashi expands on this. Rashi says, it would seem, that you're not allowed to have chametz in your possession even for 1 hour or 1 minute. Whatever is considered that period of time called 7 days, which is kicked off at the night of the 15th, no chametz. You got to be chametz free. Uksiv, but yet on the other hand, the Torah says, Ach bayom harishon, tashbisu siyar b'matech. But it sounds like your chiyuv of hashbasas chametz is on the first day of Yontiv, which is the 15th. How then, HaKetzad, how can we reconcile this contradiction? How could we have a situation on the one hand where we don't have any chametz in our possession for a full 7 days, and yet on the first of those 7 days we're destroying our chametz? It's logically inconsistent. We've already gotten rid of our chametz by definition because we're not allowed to have chametz in our possession. And if on the other hand you're going to have chametz in your possession in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Ach Bayom HaRishon Tashbisu Hashbasas Chametz on the first day, then you violated the law, the Lo Saseh, of Shivas Yomim Siyar Lo Yimatzei
Bevateichem. Does the phrase Yom HaRishon here refer to what I think in the Torah is called Chag HaMatzot, or does it refer to what the Torah refers to as Chag HaPesach, which is the 14th?
Ah.
What's that part of the dispute?
Well, that's going to come up in discussion here on Daf Hey. I don't want to jump ahead of ourselves, but if you take a look at Rava on Daf Hey, which is about 10 lines up from the bottom of Daf Hey, he's going to quote the pasuk of Shechitas Karban Pesach. And he's going to prove from the fact that we're shechting the Karban Pesach midday on the 14th, that's going to teach us that we can't have chametz from midday of the 14th. But we're going to see problems with Rava, and Abaye is working on the other side. Abaye is working on the side of the equation that Shechitas HaPesach and the Iser Chametz are two separate parshios, are two separate halachic entities.
So Abaye is starting off on the assumption that the Yom HaRishon that's referred to here is talking about the 15th of Nisan.
Correct. And how do you reconcile that with the following lav? Shivas Yomim Siyar Lo Yimotzev Etechem, and it includes the entire package deal of all 7 days. So how can you possibly get rid of your chametz on the first day of the Chag? You've already been enjoined from having chametz in your possession on the first day of the Chag, insofar as it's part of Shivas Yomim. HaKetzad. So apparently the Torah, in this particular structure, gave us a what seems to be a contradiction in order for Torah Sheval Peh, meaning for human logic, to reconcile this contradiction. And the reconciliation is Lerabos Arbaasar Lebir, meaning that the phrase Yom HaRishon, which literally means the first day of Pesach, has to be reinterpreted. And what it means is the first day before the Shivas Yomim. Because again, it can't be during the Shivas Yomim, it can't be the first day of the Shivas Yomim, because then you violate the Isolo Yimotze. So it's going to have to be the first day prior to the Shivas Yomim, which means the 14th of Nisan, and from here we're going to derive the conclusion that a person has to destroy his chametz on the 14th of Nisan. Again, we still don't know what hour on the 14th of Nisan. That's going to come later. So the Gemara says, V'ema, I'm not sure I'm convinced, says the Gemara, that your logic is correct. I can reconcile the Psukim in a different way. Lerabos, let's suggest that the Torah in Yom HaRishon is referring to Lele Chamisha Sol Lebir, to tell us to destroy the Chametz on the night of the 15th. And why would we assume that possibility? After all, the Torah says, Shivas Yomim Siyar Lo Yimotzei B'Vateichem. So how could it be that Bayom HaRishon means on the night of the first day of Pesach? The Salka Daita Chamina, because I could postulate the following, that when the Torah says Shivas Yomim, the word Yomim should be emphasized, Yomim Ksiv. Maybe the word Yomim means Yomim in Leilos Lo, and maybe the Torah is implying with the word Yomim that there's no Iser Chametz until the daytime of the 15th. Kamash Malon. And therefore the Torah wants to tell you in the Pasuk Bayom HaRishon, Afilu Leilos, that even at night, you have to get rid of your chametz. And chametz is prohibited even at night. But it doesn't mean, and there's no proof to draw the conclusion, that chametz is prohibited on the 14th. What forced you to assume that when the Torah employs the term B'yom HaRishon, it must refer to the 14th of Nisan, is the fact that you felt it was irreconcilable with Shivas Yomim. But if I interpret Yomim to refer to days, daylight hours, not night, then we need the Pasuk Ach B'yom HaRishon to close the gap and include the night as well within the Iser of Chametz. But it doesn't mean you have to get rid of your Chametz on the 14th. Now, before we go on, and the Gemara is going to disprove this, I want to point out to you that we've understood the Gemara now according to Rashi. And you should know that Tosfos has a different approach to this Gemara. You'll see this in Tosfos, Dibur HaMaskil Uksiv. And Tosfos has a fundamental objection to Rashi's approach, in which Rashi assumes that there's a contradiction between Shivas Yomim Siyar Lo Yimotzim Bivateichem on the one hand, and Ach B'Yom HaRishon Tashbisu Siyar Mivateichem on the other hand. Tosfos says, Tashbisu Havarehi V'lo Tziva HaKosuv L'Sarfo El Liachar Yisuro. Wow. Tosfos says the following, that, and this is something we've seen in the past, that Tosfos identifies Tashbisu as Havara, as burning. We touched on that earlier in the same daf in Tosfos Dibur HaMaskil Midoraisa, where he quotes Rabbi Akiva. And Sreifa has to take place after Chametz is Asur. Correct? After Chametz is Asur. So that...
After?
Yes. Let me explain. There's a halacha of burning something that is prohibited. I'll give you an example. The paradigm of such a thing would be what's called the mitzvah of Sreifas Nosar, meaning if you leave the kachim over past the allotted time for achila and you didn't eat it, so that becomes Nosar. With all the isurim of Nosar, you're not allowed to eat it, and you have to burn it. In other words, once the shame isur emerges, then and only then you have to burn it. Tosfos says, therefore, if we apply the same logic to the case of Chametz, and Chametz is very akin, very similar to Nosar, then we have to burn the Chametz after it becomes Osir. The Torah just finished telling me that Shivas Yomim Siyar Lo Yimotzei Bivateichem, meaning that with the emergence of the first day of the Chag, the period of 7 days, there's an Isur Chametz. Chametz becomes Asur on the night of the 15th. Then when should I be burning it? After it becomes Asur on the night of the 15th. So therefore the terminology B'Yom HaRishon Tashbisu Siyar B'Vateichem is perfect. No, but you'll ask me, but wait a minute, Rashi points out that the Torah doesn't want you to have Chametz in your possession. Tosfos says, well, I'm burning the Chametz. It's not that I'm holding on to the Chametz because I want to, you know, I want to dance with the Chametz. I'm holding on to the Chametz in order to fulfill my mitzvah of Havara, of burning the Chametz. And that mitzvah of Havara, according to the Torah law, the Torah demands you to burn it when it becomes Asur. Again, I wouldn't delay it. You know, you should probably take the very first opportune moment to destroy the Chametz. But there's no proof that B'Yom HaRishon is referring to Yudalid. On the contrary, if B'Yom HaRishon is referring to Yudalid, then you are burning the Chametz prematurely. The Torah says it only became Chametz Shivas Yomim with the beginning of Yontif. To burn the Chametz before that would not be appropriate. And therefore, there's no steer, there's no contradiction here. Ach B'Yom HaRishon means B'Yom HaRishon. And I will indeed burn the Chametz on the night of the 15th. Therefore, Rashi's pshat, that there's a steer here, an irreconcilable contradiction, is incorrect. It cannot be maintained. Again, let's just review the Tosfos one more time. Tosfos is operating with two premises. Premise number one is that the mitzvah of Sreifa is chal and could only be chal after the emergence of the Isur. And number two, that if the Torah tells you get rid of your Chametz after Chametz becomes Asur, you're not in any violation of possession of Chametz if your purpose is You're totally one-sided, you know, one goal focused on the goal of destroying your chametz. That's not considered a violation of lo yimotze siyar bevatech.
So the argument would be, instead of starting the Seder with Kiddush, you start the Seder by burning whatever chametz is left over.
So and therefore, Tosa says that that's not what Abai has in mind. Now, what does Tosa substitute for Rashi? He says, if you take a look at the last line in Tosa's, V'nira l'ri d'mi'itura d'kra kadarish, that the drush of Abaye is not the way Rashi reads it, a contradiction, but rather it's itura d'kra, meaning once the Torah has already told me that I'm not allowed to have chametz in my possession, why did the Torah have to go a step further and tell me to destroy the chametz? Obviously, if I'm in possession of chametz and the Torah says I'm not allowed to do so, I got to get rid of it. There was no need for the Torah to reiterate that which we already know. That's called Yitur Dekra. And therefore, we have to find a ribui, some a new additional halacha, that the Torah is breaking new ground when it says Ach B'Yom HaRishon. And the only way of interpreting that is that the Torah is telling me, you know what, you made a boo-boo here. You assumed incorrectly that you can only destroy the chametz on the 15th. I'm telling you, the Torah says, I'm telling you a secret. Destroy the chametz on the 14th. That's the ribui of the pasuk Ach B'Yom HaRishon. Keep in mind, my friends, that this Tosus seems to be operating with the premise that Tashbisu is kind of a repeat performance of Lo Yimotze. Meaning, if Torah's, according to the Ri and Tosus, the premise here is, the logic here is, that if the Torah says you're not allowed to possess chametz, then I don't need Tashbisu, unless it's coming to teach me Yudalit. But other than Yudalid, but I would have said, if not for Tosus, that I need Tashbisu to teach me that there's a mitzvah to destroy my chametz. I'll give you a simple nafkamina. Would you make a bracha on destroying chametz? So the Gemara's going to have a whole sugya later on at Daf Zayin. I hope we'll get to it, Mitzvah Hashem, that you have to make a bracha before you destroy your chametz. Asher kishonot tosav etzivara al bir chametz. I'm not going into the question why we make the bracha earlier, you know, on the 14th at night when we look for chametz, but there's a mitzvah of bir chametz. According to Tosfos, how would I derive that mitzvah of bir chametz as a positive mitzvah? I would only say that you're not allowed to have chametz in your possession, so then you got to get rid of it. But that's not a mitzvah.
Well, you might say it wouldn't be a positive, it would be
command. So if Tosus' premise is that Ach B'Yom HaRishon is Yitur Dekra, it's an extra pasuk, it's not teaching me anything, it's just repeating what I already know, then he's identifying Tashbisu with Lo Yimotze. And basically it's what we call an Isra Aseh, which is a case in which the Torah prohibits something with a positive language, but there's no mitzvah involved over here. You know, there's no positive command to destroy your chametz. You know, Rashi's probably not working with that premise. Rashi's working with the assumption that Tashbisu is a positive command. It's something that's called an essay, and it requires a bracha, and so forth and so on. But let's get back to the Gemara's question. Maybe I need the pasuk Tashbisu to teach me the night of the 15th. So the Gemara says, Lo itzterchle. And here we go on to Daf Hei Amud Aleph. I don't need a pasuk to teach me that the Isur Chametz includes nighttime. Why not? To iskish hashbasa siar lachilas chametz, and achilas chametz lachilas matzah. We have a hekesh, an equation. We'll see it in a minute where that equation is written between the destruction of chametz and the mitzvah. And excuse me, and the Isur of Achilas Chametz, and the Isur of Achilas Chametz is equated to the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah. We're going to reverse the order for a moment, just for pedagogical purposes. We know that Matzah is a mitzvah that applies on the night of the 15th, because the Torah is going to tell us, Ba'erev Tochlu Matzahs. Once we equate Matzah with Isur Chametz, we know that the Isur Achilas Chametz is also Chal on the night of the 15th. And since there's a further equation between the Isur of Achilas Chametz and the Mitzvah of Tashbisu, we know that the Mitzvah of Tashbisu has to apply on the night of the 15th. Let's go through the psukim. The psukim are as follows. Hashbasa si'or, there's an equation between getting rid of your chametz and the isra achilas chametz. Dichsiv, shivas yomim si'or lo yimotzi b'vatechem ki kol ochel machmetzes v'nichrisa. So in the very same pasuk that starts with lo yimotzei, ends with isra achila, so we have now an equation between lo yimotzei, which means hashbasa chametz, and isra achila, and now we have another hekesh between achilas chametz, the isra of achilas chametz, and the mitzvah of achilas matzah. The ksiv kol machmetzes lo sochelu b'chol moshul seichem tochlu matzos. The Torah commands you to eat matzos in the very same pasuk the Torah enjoins you from eating chametz. Uksiv beba matzah. Now we finally get to our destination. Ba'erev tochlu matzah. So we know that the mitzvah of matzah is at night. We know therefore that the Isra Achilus Chametz is at night. And we know therefore that the Bal Yirah Bal Yimotzeh of Hashbasas Chametz is also at night. Therefore I don't need an extra pasuk, as you try to attack me, says Abahi, to teach me that Leil Chamishasar is prohibited in chametz. The Ema, now the Gemara raises another objection. L'rabos Leil Yudalid Libir. Okay, look, maybe if we should go the other extreme. Now that you have a pasuk that's teaching you that on the 14th of Nisan you have to get rid of your chametz, maybe we should get rid of our chametz the night before the 14th, meaning the night of the kickoff of the 14th. Which, by the way, we start the process, but that's only because of Bedika. But we don't assume that the Torah already wants us to get rid of our chametz on the night of the 14th. So the Gemara answers by Yom Ksiv. It says Ach by Yom Arishon Tashbisu, and the word by Yom means on the day of the 14th. V'yema mitzafra. Maybe the Torah wants us to get rid of our chametz in the morning with daybreak, not wait till the middle of the day. And the Gemara answers Ach Chilek. That the word ach, which is similar to the word rak, resh kuf, is a miut which divides something into two parts. That's the function of the word ach in the Torah. So whenever you see the word ach, you know it's a limitation rule. In a case of zmanim, it takes a zman and cuts it into two halves. Here in the case of the yom, of the 14th, which is b'yom harishon, the tashbisu is ach b'yom harishon. And the additional word ach is telling you to split the day in half. It's like taking a carrot and splitting it right in the middle, right? So what you have is the first half of the daylight hours, that's the first 6 hours of the day of the 14th, from daybreak until chatzos yom, is mutter b'chametz, and the iser chametz is engendered with achilek at chatzos yom in the middle of the day. And again, notice, there's no reference here whatsoever to the Korban Pesach. Abayi is working this out within, and totally within the context of the parsha of chametz. He's not stretching his arm out to the case of Korban Pesach. Now, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, I'll let you know, Adaf Mem Tes, has a principle of kol achin v'rakin miutim. Whenever you see the word ach or the word rak, you know it's a miut, and it's excluding, in this case, half. Rashi, however, in Dibra Maschil ach, if you take a look at Rashi ach, offers a second possibility. Besides the Gemara in Sanhedrin, he says the following, that ach is chetz in the gematria of achas bata gift the katz. So there's a certain kind of gematria which allows us to rearrange letters in the Torah. And if you rearrange the letters of ach, aleph, chaf, what you'll end up with is chetz. Meaning the aleph, you see achas, you see the word achah there, aleph, ches, samach?
Seven letters after the letter.
Right, because what you're doing is you're dividing the 21 letters into three. Okay, don't ask me a question about the 27th, the second letter. But Aleph now corresponds to Ches. So if Aleph corresponds to Ches, then if you substitute the Ches for the Aleph, so you have Ches, and then you'll find that the Chaf is interchangeable according to this arrangement of letters with a Tzadi. And Chetz means Chetzi. Chetzi means half. And the word Achia, says Rashi, splits the day into half. This is all based on a Gemara Masechta Shabbos on Daf Kuf Dalid Amud Aleph, in which the Gemara has a whole sugya there with pages about how to darshan different words in the Torah, letters in the Torah, and so forth and so on. So basically what we're left with, to summarize Abaye's approach, is Ach B'Yom HaRishon. The Yom HaRishon refers to the 14th. It cannot possibly refer to Yom Tov itself. And the Ach tells me to split the 14th into two halves, half of which is Osir B'Chametz, and the other half is Mutar B'Chametz. The Beir Rabbi Yishmol Tana. Now we have a different answer to the same question.
If that were really the case, we'd be talking about a time a lot before noon. If we're starting with nightfall on the 14th...
No, again, we've excluded nightfall because of the word Yom. So we're only dealing with daylight hours. So we're assuming the daylight hours split into two halves of six each. So the beginning of the seventh hour is Achilek.
No. So it's a half of a half.
Yeah, I guess you'd say so. It's a half of a half. Did they Rabbi Yishmol Tana? We have a brice in the name of Rabbi Yishmol. Matzinu Yidalid Shenikar Rishon. If you want to know what the word Rishon means in the Pasuk Ach B'Yom HaRishon, then I can tell you that it means Yidalid, because the Torah uses the word Rishon elsewhere to refer to Yidalid. And where is that? Shenemar Barishon Barbos or Yom Lachodesh. And then it says in that Pasuk Ba'erev Tochlu Matzos. In the Pasuk that commands us to eat matzah, the Torah itself uses the word Rishon and specifically tells us, like spells it out for us, that we're referring to our boss, our yom. So basically, Rabbi Yishmol is introducing a kind of Gzeirah Shavah halacha. You remember Gzeirah Shavah, that sometimes we find the same word in two different contexts and we equate them. So since in the context of matzah, the Torah defines Rishon as our boss, so too here, when the Torah in the context of chametz, specifically Hashbasas chametz, uses the word Rishon, we assume that it means, based on this Hekesh, based on this Gzeirah Shavah, the 14th of Nisan. And then once again, we're going to have to apply the rule of Achilek. You know, notice that Rabbi Yishmael does not obviate the need for Achilek, because he's just getting us back to our Basar. He doesn't tell me, you know, how to split the day of our Basar into two halves. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak is number three on our list. Okay, now Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak is a long, long, tedious Gemara. I don't want to skip it, although I probably do want to skip it, but I'm going to have to ask you to bear with me here, and sort of like hold your questions in a sense to a minimum, because it's a long piece, but I want to finish it in the next 15 minutes. So in order to do that, we really have to sort of race through Rav Nachman Yitzchak. And again, I hope he'll be Meichel me, Rav Nachman, but it's a limud that's so long and complicated, and the Gemara has so many problems with it. It's a very holy limud, but I don't mean holy with an H. I mean holy with a W. There are many holes in it, you know. Okay. Rishon Demei Karamashma. I'm going to prove to you that the word Rishon means Meikara. Meikara means before. Rishon means not first, but before. And he's going to base himself on the Pasuk Shivas Yomim Matzos Tochelu. And the Torah afterwards says, Ach Bayom HaRishon. Meaning that the Torah commands us to eat matzah for 7 days, and then immediately tells us that on Yom HaRishon, we've got to get rid of achametz. That word Rishon means the day before. So Shivas Yom Matzah Tochelu, and the day before that, get rid of your chametz. Where do we find that the word Rishon means the day before? The Omar Kra, he quotes a pasuk from Eov, HaRishon Adam Tivoled. You know, this is Eliphaz, one of the quote unquote friends of Eov, who's giving Eov a real Spachtel, a real musashmuz, and he says, were you born before Adam HaRishon? Meaning, you think you understand God's universe? Were you around at the time of creation that all the secrets of the universe were disclosed, were revealed to you? That's a facetious statement. But anyway, you see that the word Rishon means before. HaRishon Adam Tivole, were you born before man, meaning before Adam? That which is a rhetorical question, a facetious question. And now the Gemara starts attacking Rav Nachman. Elabayata, Rav Nachman, give it a break. Are you serious? Do you really mean that I'm going to be convinced that the word Rishon means before? Elamayata, according to your logical, Lekachtav Lachem Bayom HaRishon, the Torah says, take a Priyetz Hadar on Yom HaRishon, is Hachinami Rishon to make Kara Mashma, which means the day before Sukkot. I've got to shake the Dalet Minim? So now, watch this. Rav Nachman is now already in a defensive position. He's going to have to figure this all out. I mean, it's impossible to maintain that the word Rishon consistently means before. Shani Hosom Diksiv Usmachtem Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem Shivas Yomim. The Torah commands you in the midst of Simcha for 7 days, and that's the second half of the Pasuk Lekachtem Lachem Biyom Rishon. Ma Shvi Shvi Lachag Af Rishon Rishon Lachag. In other words, there's an internal proof in that particular pasuk that the word Rishon means the first day of the Chag. So Rav Nachman is willing to admit that the word Rishon, excuse me, in Tanakh, in scriptures, can mean one of two things. It can either mean the first, or it can mean the day before. In the case of Ulukatim Lachem Bayom Rishon, it means the first, and I only know this because of the Sefer the Krah that says Usmachtim Lufei Hashem Alkechem Shivas Yomim. That Shivas Yomim is bookends that begins with the first day and ends with the seventh day. So the Gemara says, Hachinami, even in the case of Pesach, I should apply that same logic. Ksiv Ach Bayom Arisho Tashbisu. And at the beginning of that very same pasuk, it says, Shivas Yomim Matzos Tochelu. And we're going to apply the same logic, that Shivas Yomim sets up that time period from the beginning of the seventh day to the end of the seventh day. And therefore, we must know, therefore, that the word Rishon in the Pasuk, Ach B'yom HaRishon Tashbisu, like the beginning of that Pasuk, is referring to the first of the 7 days. Because the beginning of the Pasuk says Shivas Yomim, like we saw by Usmachtem in Lulav. Here too it says HaRishon, it says Shivas Yomim in the case of Matzah. And therefore Ach B'yom HaRishon Tashbisu must be referring to the first day. Ah, says Rav Nachman, I have to backtrack a little. Imke Nichtov Kra Rishon, HaRishon Lamali. It should have said Ach Bayom Rishon Tashbisu Sar Matech. Rishon would mean first, but HaRishon, the extra hey, indicates before the Rishon. Shmami Lola Kramaran, the hey is telling us what I taught you. Hasam Nami, wait a minute. Let's go back to the Parsha of Lulav. What does it say there? Lokatim Lachem Bayom HaRishon with a hey. HaRishon Lamali. The Torah should have dropped the word hey, the letter hey. Because hey is just going to confuse you and lead you to the conclusion that it means the day before. Vesu, and furthermore, Rav Nachman, I have another problem. Hasam, over there in the parish of Chagas Sukkos, in addition to the mitzvah that the Torah commands us to take the lulav, the Torah also commands us in the mitzvah of Shabboson. Shabboson means shvisa, means abstaining from Allah. Dixiv bayom harishon Shabboson, ubayom hashmini Shabboson. There too, the Torah uses the word HaRishon.
And HaShmini.
Right? But HaRishon, what does that mean? That we're enjoined from Allah on the day before Sukkot? Right, it's getting out of hand already. Amar, he says, Rishon, yeah, so this is part of the question. Amar Rishon to make Karamashma? Could it be that the Iser Malach in the midst of Shabboson starts with the 14th of Tishrei? Shiny Hossam, the Omar Crow by Yom Hashmini Shabboson, which is referring to Shmini Atzeres. Ma Shmini Shmini Lachag, Afrishon Rishon Dechag. And then the Gemara is going to ask, Ha Rishon Lamali. So why you said the extra word, hey, is coming to teach you that it means before, and then after the Torah used the word hey, which would indicate that Shabboson starts before, the Torah has to exclude it by giving you this equation between Yom HaRishon and Yom HaShmini. So why did the Torah go around its head, you know, to add the hey and confuse us? The hey is just misleading. So the Gemara answers, "Limu'utei cholo shel moed." That the reason why the Torah says Bayom HaRishon Shabbason is you might think that the Issur Melacha of Sukkos applies straight through for the entire Chag, including Chol Shel Moed. So HaRishon, the Hay emphasizes that it's only the first day of the Chag and not the rest of the days of the Chag. So now the Gemara says, wait a minute, I need a Pasuk to exclude Chol Shel Moed. Chol Shel Moed mi Rishon Ushmini Nafka. The Torah says the first and the eighth. If the Torah meant all the days, it wouldn't have said the first and the eighth. It should have said from the first straight through to the eighth. It's clear then from the Torah that Chol Shel Moed is not included in the mitzvah of Shabbason and the Issur Melacha. So again, why do I need the hay? Itzrich. I still think that maybe Chol Moed might be also in Melacha. Why? Salka daitach amina hoil de kosa rachmona. Ubayom hashmini. The Torah added the word vav. The letter vav, excuse me, is let's have a drasha here. Let's have fun with the vav. Vav Mosif al inyon rishon. The Torah says ubayom hashmini, and also meaning in addition to the 7 days of Issur Melacha, tag on the eighth day. Mosif al inyon rishon dafilu becholo shel moed. So I need it to teach me that kamash malon, that the hay of harishon is to exclude chol shel moed. So the Gemara says, I don't like your logic. Lo lichtov rav mana lo vav. In other words, why did the Torah have to confuse us by adding the vav of ubayom hashmini shabbason to imply that the eighth day is tagged on to the other 7 days of Issur Melacha? And then, if the Torah dropped the vav, which is misleading, then velo, hey, it didn't have to add the hey to exclude chol shel moed, as you say. Vesu, and furthermore, Hasav Detziv Bayom Arishon, in the case of Pesach, it says, Bayom Arishon Mikra Kodesh Yelachem. So Rishon to me, Kara Mashma? Could it be, therefore, that there's an Issur Melach on Erev Yontif? And basically what we come out with is three different places which contradict Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak in Lulav, in Shvisa of Sukkos, and Shvisa in Pesach. In all three cases, the Torah says Arishon, and it means the first, and not before, on the day of the 14th. So really, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak is now facing a three-point objection. Ella, so the Gemara says, you know what? The only answer I could afford to defend Rav Nachman is what we call an agadata. An agadata means some sort of thought or philosophical idea, or maybe foretelling the future. Something that's agadic in nature is going to justify why the Torah used the word Rishon in those three cases, in that of Lulav, that of Sukkos, and that of Shvisa of Pesach. I'm sorry, Lulav and Shvisa of the Sukkos and Shvisa of the Pesach. And now the Gemara is going to invoke an agadic statement of Rabbi Yishmael. Elahanach Shlosha Rishon Miboyle. We need these three times of Rishon not to confuse us and to think it means Erev Yontif, but for the teaching L'chidetani Debei Rabbi Yishmael, D'tani Debei Rabbi Yishmael, B'schar Shlosha Rishon. There are three mitzvos in the Torah that are distinguished by the word Rishon. Rishon gives it a certain extra chashivos, that if we fulfill those mitzvos meticulously, Zachu L'shlosha Rishon, we will receive as a reward three Rishons. What are the three Rishons that we get that correspond to these three mitzvos of Lulav, Shvisa and Sukkos, and Shvisa and Pesach? And here they are, Lahachris Zaro Shel Esav, will destroy Amalek, who comes from Zaro Shel Esav, that's this week's parsha, Lebinyan Beis HaMikdash, Ulishmo Shel Mashiach. How do we know this? Because in each one of these three cases, the Torah foretells what's going to happen in the future with the word Rishon. Lahachris Zaro Shel Esav Dechsiv Vayetze Arishon Admoni Kulo Kaderes Seyar. Esav is called the Rishon. Binyan Beis Hamikdash Siv Kisei Kavod Morom Me Rishon Mekom Mikdashenu Ulishmo Shel Mashiach Dechsiv Rishon Litzion Hine Hinam. The word HaRishon appears three times in these three areas. They're all merits and rewards that the Jewish people will, Im Yirtzeh Hashem, reach and attain in the future. And each one of these Rishons correspond to the three Rishons in Lulav, Shvisav Sukkos, and Shvisas Pesach. But the Rishon of Ach B'Yom Rishon Tashpisu in Chometz, that's referring to the day before Pesach. There, Rishon means Meikara Mashma, as Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak postulates it. Now, as we have 2 minutes to finish, rather than start with Rava, Rava's going to take us into the Karban Pesach area. I would like to share with you an insight, if I can find it, of the Marsha. Marsha says the following, that the three mitzvot that we're delineating are parallel, each one respectively, to one or the other of the three merits that we will be zoche in. He says, Pesach is the time of Geula Mishibud Mitzrayim, and that Shibud is parallel to the Shibud of Esav. The ancestors of the descendants of Esav will persecute the Jews and subjugate them over the centuries, and that parallels the subjugation of the Mitzrim to the Jewish people, and therefore Bezchus Pesach we will be zochet to the ultimate geula from Shibud of Esav. Next, Sukkos. After Yitzis Mitzrayim, the Torah says, Ufro Solenu Sukkah Shlomecha. And Fro Solenu Sukkah Shlomecha is a reference not only to Sukkos, but also to Binyan Beis HaMikdash, because the Sukkah is the Mokum HaShoras HaShechina, and that refers to the Anani HaKavod and to the Tzelo D'Memnusa. The Sukkah is parallel to the Beis HaMikdash. Lulav is a special mitzvah of Usmachtem. The Torah says in the same Pasuk as Lekachtem, it says Usmachtem, and that's going to be the ultimate apex of Simcha at the time of Bias HaMashiach. That's according to the Marsha. The Chassam Sofer has a little bit of a different twist on this. He's of the opinion that Bizchus Mikra Kodesh de Pesach, which is Lekodsho, Bizchus Nekiyo, Nizkel, Binyan Beis HaMikdash. So Binyan Beis HaMikdash is a reward for Pesach. And in the Zchus of observing the Isur Malach, the Mikra Kodesh of Sukkos, will be Zoche to the downfall of those nations that try to destroy us, who didn't come to celebrate Sukkos. That's in Sefer Zechayo HaNovi. And finally, the Zchus of the Lulav. Lulav is a code word for a tzaddik. Okay, so that's based on a pasuk in Tehillim. Tzaddik Katomar Yifrach will be Zochet to Shmo Shel Mashiach, because Mashiach is going to be the Tzaddik Gomor. Okay then, so this is where we'll stop tonight, and I'm going to need an answer from you as far as next week is concerned.